of God reading in the New Testament and the Gospel according to St. Luke. In chapter 18 at verse 35 and reading down into chapter 19 as far as verse 10. The earlier part of chapter 18 is altogether fascinating, not least that it tells the story of the rich young ruler who, when he was told the terms for following Jesus, decided it was too much, and he went away sorrowful, and Jesus went on his way. Chapter 18 of Luke's Gospel, verse 35. And as Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a multitude going by, he inquired what this meant. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, let me receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. And Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, that is, on his way to Jerusalem. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was. But he could not on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, that is, critically saying, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Amen, and may God bless to us the reading of his word. Altogether fascinating story, and sometimes a slightly amusing story, of Zacchaeus in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and these first 10 verses. Our series of studies on Sunday mornings, and for some little time yet, will be encounters with Jesus. And if we wanted to take a single text from the Bible that would be suitable for the whole series of studies, it would be Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 1 at verse 16, where it reads, The saying is true and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if you take nothing else away from this service, and surely you've been blessed already, surely you were blessed in singing that last hymn, it sounded as if you were, take this home with you today. The saying is true and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And as we continue this series of studies of encounters with Jesus, what we see in the various stories is the variety in the methods of Jesus. How he dealt with very different personalities, very different needs, and very different situations. We see the variety in the ways that people came to faith in Jesus, and how they were led to faith and were confirmed in their faith. And the story of Zacchaeus all begins in verse 2, where we are told that he sought to see who Jesus was. There was a crowd. And you know that when there's a crowd, human nature being what it is, we all want to go and see what the crowd's all about. Well, no doubt Zacchaeus had been told by somebody that the crowd was all round about Jesus. And he thought, well, I've heard about this Jesus. And Zacchaeus decided he would like to have a look at this Jesus that lots of people seemed to be talking about. And on the face of it, the story of Zacchaeus begins with curiosity. And yet it was significant, and it proved to be the most significant day in the life of Zacchaeus. It proved to be a turning point in this man's whole life. And something of the wonder of the story, something of the miraculous nature of the story, is seen, for example, if we went back to chapter 18 that I indicated at the beginning of the scripture reading and read there from verse 18, the story of the rich young ruler. This young man, this very personable and very rich young man, came boldly and open to Jesus, full of self-confidence. He never dreamt for a moment that Jesus wouldn't be sort of falling over himself to have him as a disciple. And Jesus said to this rich young ruler, so cocksure of himself, sell all you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And the rich young ruler went away. And Jesus said, oh, how hard it is, verse 24, for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. But when we turn to the story of Zacchaeus, and he was a very rich man, the end of the story tells us he had a fortune to give away. We see in the story of Zacchaeus an amazing simplicity, and we see the amazing easiness with which a rich man can, in fact, enter the kingdom. In the morning, Zacchaeus had no thoughts whatever of any significant change in his life, let alone a spiritual change. But by the evening, he was a disciple of Jesus. Now, I think it's important in a story like this to set the context. And away back in Luke's record of the Gospel, chapter 9, verse 51, we are told that there came a point when Jesus set his face to go steadfastly to Jerusalem. And, of course, his arrival at Jerusalem meant his death on the cross. And on the way to Jerusalem, he passed through Jericho. And this was the last time that he would pass through that particular community. Because when he reached Jerusalem, it was the beginning of what we call Holy Week. Palm Sunday leading on to Good Friday and to the cross. And that means, you see, that in this section of Luke's Gospel, blind Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, and then a little later, the dying thief, were the three last converts in Jesus' ministry. We may come another Sunday morning to the story of Bartimaeus and remind ourselves just how critical that day was. I don't know if Bartimaeus knew that it was critical, but he sure shouted out and created an awful fuss. Because, you see, Jesus was passing by. He was never going to have another chance to speak to Jesus or to meet Jesus. And Jesus was passing through Jericho. And in a sense, it was something of a last chance for Zacchaeus.
What kind of fellow was Zacchaeus? Well, we are told in the story that he, in verse 1, that he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And the system of taxation in these days was that the invading power of Rome set, as it were, the area or the parish boundaries. And the Chancellor of the Exchequer of the Empire of Rome said, right, for that particular parish, we want X number of pounds of taxes every year. And so Rome looked around for a competent civil servant. And they recruited Zacchaeus and put him in charge. Now the power of Rome said so much of taxation every year. And so long as that sum of money reached the exchequer in Rome, no problem. But the exchequer wasn't at all interested in exactly how much taxation the civil servants exacted. And that's one of the reasons why Zacchaeus was rich. So many poor people, for example, coming to pay their taxes, they couldn't read. The book might say £20. Zacchaeus might say £100. He got rich. And that was how he got rich. And I'm sure the people of the community knew exactly what was going on, and therefore, without question, Zacchaeus would be a man who was resented. He was a man who was detested. He was a man who was despised. He was a man who was well known in the community. He was a man who was friendless in that Jewish community, because he was a Jew who had denied his nationality and his dignity and his pride and had become a servant of the conquering power of Rome. That's the kind of man that Zacchaeus was. And that being so, you can imagine something of the risk that Zacchaeus took when his curiosity about Jesus made him go out into the crowd. And if, as I say, we were getting near to Jerusalem and the time of the crucifixion, then it was getting near to the time of the Jewish Passover. And there would be a great many Jewish pilgrims passing through Jericho, and feelings, religious feelings, would be running high. And when religious feelings are running high, and a crowd sees a man who is a traitor to the religion that they were so proud of, things can get pretty dicey. So it was a very dangerous thing, a very risky thing that Zacchaeus did, to go out into the crowd, because he was curious about Jesus. And you can imagine him as he tried to find some point where he could see Jesus and his disciples going along the road. You can imagine how this man would be jostled and hindered. Maybe he was afraid. Have you never been in a crowd and you got the feeling that the crowd was about to turn nasty? That's how it was with Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus, you know, was determined to see Jesus. And he was a little man, poor chap. Men who are little always have a chip on their shoulders. So Zacchaeus went running along the road. He was rich. He was very well dressed. He was very well known. Can you imagine the crowd as they saw wee Zacchaeus running along the road? Can you imagine the crowd as they watched Zacchaeus climbing up the sycamore tree? Can you imagine the laughter and the mockery? We mustn't think of a tree and Zacchaeus the only person. You know what it's like in a crowd. I've done it myself. Not only in my youth, I've climbed up a lamppost to get a better look. You imagine the trees and people getting up in the tree so that they could see over the... Can you imagine Zacchaeus going up this tree and some of the Jews that he had taxed to the hilt feeling, my word, an elbow, that would fix him. An interesting story. Zacchaeus, the little man, up the tree. And I'm quite sure that curiosity alone would not have made Zacchaeus take that kind of risk. I've no doubt at all, I suppose I'm thinking of my own human nature and your human nature as well. I'm quite sure that there was some more powerful emotion urged him this day that he had to see Jesus. I often wonder what brings people to church. All sorts of things go through a preacher's mind, you know, in the pulpit. And from time to time down the years, I've looked around, perhaps during one of the psalms or hymns. Goodness me, what brought him here? What brought her here? Well, what was it that made Zacchaeus do this particular kind of thing this day? I think there was something working in Zacchaeus' life. And I think there's a clue in the last verse of the passage. When Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And that word lost, I think, is the best word to describe Zacchaeus. I think he was a man who knew perfectly well, in spite of all his riches, he was a man who knew that he had lost the place. I wonder whether there are any folk here in church this morning who are beginning to wonder if that's the truth about them. They've lost the place. Zacchaeus felt he had lost the place. He felt it that he had lost any real purpose in life. I think Zacchaeus felt that he had lost himself. I don't think he ever meant to end up the kind of man that he was, with little or nothing in his life except money. It's an awfully sad and an awfully pathetic condition to be in. I used to be a banker, as some of you well know. I discovered in these years working in a bank that the thing that people with a lot of money usually do is to worry about the lot of money that they have. It's very strange. Very sad. Yes, Zacchaeus felt he was lost. And from all his background, brought up as a Jew, Zacchaeus, I think, felt that he was lost in relation to God. The God he had learned about when he was young. I think in his early days, this Jew, Zacchaeus, used to go regularly to the synagogue, but I'm quite sure he didn't go anymore. I'm quite sure that the Pharisees and the scribes, the leadership of the synagogue, had written off Zacchaeus, a traitor, a man for whom there's no hope. He's finished. He's lost. And Zacchaeus felt that he had lost the place. And he wanted to see Jesus. No doubt he had heard about him. As all the people queued up to pay their taxes, you know how people talk when they're in a queue. I'm sure Zacchaeus, he wouldn't be sitting at the counter. He was the chief tax collector. And chiefs don't work. They leave that to the Indians. But he would be wandering around making sure that every possible penny was gathered in. But he would hear all the talk. You know, the kind of... Did you hear the story when Jesus was in such and such? He did this? Really? And that man is... Zacchaeus heard about Jesus. And I'm so glad that some people in the queues were speaking about Jesus. A much better thing to speak about than the fact that the prices have gone up since last week. Or to speak about the weather. It's a depressing subject at the best of times. Do you ever speak about Jesus? Do you really? Well, Zacchaeus, somehow or other, had heard about Jesus. And he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was. I really don't think he wanted to be involved. But he wanted to see. And he ran on ahead to get a better view. Now, there's all sorts of questions. What made him do this? Where did the interest come from? And I sat up and sat and thought about this at home when I was preparing. And I thought, I wonder. And I went back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, at verse 29. Verses 27, 28, and 29, where I read the story there of Levi, who was a tax collector. And Jesus said to Levi, "Follow me," and Levi left everything and rose and followed him. I don't know if Zacchaeus was Levi's boss. But you know, if somebody leaves their job when there's a queue of people waiting to be attended to, well, you can imagine the boss's reaction. But then we are told that Levi made Jesus a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others sitting at table with him. And I just wonder if Zacchaeus had been invited to Levi's house for a meal. All sorts of things can result from inviting somebody to a meal. And I wonder if that was the beginning of Zacchaeus' interest. Maybe saying goodbye that night, said Levi, "Thank you for inviting me. It's been very interesting." And Zacchaeus went away home to forget all about it. But he couldn't forget all about it. This Jesus fellow kept on coming into his mind. I recall, I was speaking about it at home, way, way back, the Sunday I preached a sole nominee for this vacancy, and that's a long time ago, and I preached in John 3, verse 16. I didn't know that there was a man who had come back to church for the first time for years. I didn't know that that man was a foreman joiner, and he had an apprentice who was a Christian, who was a member of the tent hall, the old tent hall. And that young apprentice had been speaking when the opportunity arose, speaking to his foreman about his Christian faith. And then that Sunday, the foreman turned up here. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And that man went home along Argyle Street to his wife that day, and she said, "How did you get on?" And he said, "Oh, Jenny, I think I'm going to be converted." It was George Murdoch. Some of you remember him. He eventually became an elder. Oh, no, in essence, he wasn't converted here. It wasn't here. It was that apprentice who witnessed to his faith in Jesus Christ. And in the fullness of time, the foreman came to faith. Now, I think it was possibly from the day that he was invited to Levi's house that thoughts of Jesus kept on coming into Zacchaeus' mind. I think he began to be fascinated by the fact that this Jesus was a friend of sinners. Oh, that's a great thought, isn't it? Did you notice what you sang in that last hymn? "Remember, I'm the sinner whom Jesus came to save." Zacchaeus kept on thinking about this friend of sinners, this man Jesus who would take in the outcasts, this man Jesus who could change somebody like Levi and make him into a Christian disciple. This man Levi who left his job to follow Jesus. Oh, there was such a lot going on in Zacchaeus' mind and heart. Was it a sense of loneliness? Was it a hungry heart that made him want to go and see again who this Jesus was? Was there the beginning in his mind and heart a desire to be done with the kind of life that he'd been living? Was he beginning to think, oh, there must be a better kind of life than this? Was there a measure of troubling in his conscience? Were there times when Zacchaeus was all alone, perhaps late at night, and he sat and he thought, God can't bless the way I'm living? I believe the explanation, of course, is simply the work of God's Holy Spirit, stirring that man's heart and preparing him for the coming of Jesus. And so we look at Zacchaeus, so aware of being rejected, so aware of being unwanted, so aware possibly of all sorts of regrets about himself and about his life. I think he had reached the stage that he was sick of all his money. And that's why Jesus never mentioned money to him. It wasn't Jesus who brought up the subject of money, it was Zacchaeus himself. So he ran along the road and he got up the tree. Poor Zacchaeus. Don't you feel sorry for him? Or do you just laugh at him the way the crowd did? But note what happened. Jesus stopped, as he had done with blind Bartimaeus. Of course, blind Bartimaeus kicked up such a row that, Jesus just had to stop and ask what's going on. But there was Zacchaeus, quiet as a mouse, up his tree. And Jesus stopped. What made Jesus stop? Was it the hilarity of the crowd, the mocking folk up the tree along with Zacchaeus, making the poor man terribly embarrassed? And when Jesus stopped and he saw Zacchaeus up his tree, did Jesus smile inwardly? He wouldn't have smiled outwardly, because Zacchaeus would have thought that Jesus was laughing at him. And you know, Jesus doesn't laugh at you when you're embarrassed. He cares. I think the real reason that Jesus stopped was simply that 10th verse. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus noticed Zacchaeus. And that's one of the things I like about Jesus. He always notices. If there's a tear at the corner of your eye, he notices. If there's a hurt or a fear in your heart, he notices. That's what Jesus is like. Oh, we'll sing at the end of our service, what a friend we have in Jesus. That's the kind of Jesus he is. And Jesus stopped and he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus. Oh, I think the shock nearly made Zacchaeus fall out of the tree. How did he know my name? He knows your name. He knows my name. He knows what's brought you here today. He knows what your last week was like. He knows what your next week's going to be like. He knows all the fluctuations of feelings. He knows. And Jesus stopped and looked up at the tree and said, Zacchaeus, hurry up, come down. I want to stay at your house. He looked up at Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, You think that nobody has a good word to say about you. Zacchaeus, you think you're not wanted. I want you. Maybe these three words are what some of you here this morning need. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born in Bethlehem
To die on the cross, as the communion table declares, that Jesus says, I want you. My heart says, Jesus, I sure need you. I want you. I sometimes wonder if Matthew, that's the new name of Levi, I wonder if Matthew had said to Jesus, hey, Lord, when we're going through Jericho, I wonder if you'd keep an eye open for my former boss, Zacchaeus. I've been praying for him. I think he's a man with a hungry heart. I don't know if Matthew gave Jesus a nudge and said, Jesus, that's him up the tree. Why? Oh, there's so much I don't know. But I do know that Jesus stopped. And Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus by name and said, I want you. And there was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, offering himself as Savior and friend to Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus accepted joyfully. Do you see the glory of the gospel? Jesus came. Jesus stopped. Jesus noticed. Jesus spoke the man's name. Jesus called the man. And Jesus and Zacchaeus went along the road together into Zacchaeus' house. And I think the moment that Jesus said to Zacchaeus, come down, I want to stay with you. I think in that very moment, this poor reject of a man felt himself revalued. Oh, I must be worth something. If Jesus wants me. But if ever you want to know how much you're worth to Jesus, turn your eyes to the cross. That's the value that he sets on sinners like you and me. The reject was revalued. The prodigal son came back to God. Salvation came to that man's house, and his family were never the same again. He received, so it says, verse 6, he made haste, scrambled down the tree, and received Jesus joyfully. Of course, all the self-righteous religious folk criticized, verse 7. When they saw it, they all murmured, Jesus, he's going to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. We certainly wouldn't go with a man like that. But then you see, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Oh, no doubt people said, oh, it won't last. Ah, but it did last. And the proof that it was a real spiritual experience is simply that Zacchaeus' whole life was changed with a new attitude, and he wanted to please God. And right from the start, he began to sort out the things in his life that had been wrong. If he was going to be right with God, then he wanted to be right with people. Of course, there are some things that can't be undone. Yes, there is forgiveness. Thank God for that. Though your sins be scarlet, they can be white as snow. But some things can't be undone. And there are regrets. And there are complications that forgiven sinners have to live with. But Zacchaeus wanted to put it right. And it cost him a lot. Mind you, sometimes it's easier to yield money than to yield our pride and admit that we've been wrong. I think Zacchaeus did both. And he made restitution to those he had wronged. And he gave half of his fortune to the poor. Not in his will after he had died, when he no longer needed it. He did it there and then. And Jesus saw that this man's
that this man Zacchaeus wanted to live now to please God. And Jesus said, this man's faith is real. That's the story of Zacchaeus. But I think the last word of the sermon should really be the same as the first word. The saying is true and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We'll sing in a moment, I am not worthy, Holy Lord, that thou shouldst come to me. And oh, how true that is. We are not worthy. But the same Jesus who spoke to Zacchaeus speaks to you and me and says, come. I want to stay at your house. Amen, and may God bless to us his word.